2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Come check out our premium DFS content available to you at DFSArmy.com. If you use promo code TACO on sign up, you get a lifetime 10% off. And I know that this is the last week of golf for the season, but we'll be back within a month. And in the meantime, just go enjoy the NFL with everyone else. Got the NASCAR playoffs as well. NBA preseason around the corner. We got a lot of good things coming up. You can come get exclusive access to all of our VIP content. That's DFSArmy.com. Promo code TACO. So this is the final leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Tour Championship. The best 30 golfers, or well, the best 29 golfers, and Patton Kizzire. I've made it to the end. It's a very small field. Field of 30. That's usually the round, the number that we see, the Century Tournament of Champions, get to around that size. But, for some reason, they're very, very different. They're different kind of tournaments. You know, this field is just, really strong. A lot of the people are really, really close in the odds books. Pretty much everyone is at least 60 to 1 or under. With the exception of Kizzire, who's at 250 to 1 right now, but we don't really talk about him. He got in with two wins in the swing season. He's been garbage since then, but he hung on 30th position in the point standing and somehow got a chance to play today for the Tour Championship. It's an East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's a 7,300-yard par 70. A real bomber's course, of all active courses right now. It has the highest, correlation between driving distance and, fantasy points, tied with the Houston Open. So it's definitely a bomber's course. A lot of, longer par fours, and several of them are straight downhill. So if it's not raining, these bombers are going to be able to roll it right up to the green. Take a little wedge or chip shots for their second shot, and they'll kind of have a clear advantage over the accuracy guys there. But, the guys keeping it in the fairway, of course, they're going to have an easier time finding the greens of regulation compared to, you know, your bombers. But usually we see people bomb it out here, an average driving distance of 298 yards. That is extremely high for a tournament. It's top 10. As far as all tournaments go, or sixth, actually, of all tournaments that we go to, the sixth highest driving distance. Other than that, it doesn't have any real unique aspects to it outside of the fact that it is such a small field, no-cut event, but it's not like the other no-cut events. Usually the WGCs and such, the Tournament of Champions, too, we'll have some scrubs at the bottom, but we only get one here. And the rest are the best of the best in golf. And like I said earlier, they're very close. They're close and in contention. Anyone can win this thing, pretty much. I know some guys are kind of mathematically eliminated to where they could win, like Xander last year. He won the Tour Championship, but he didn't end up winning the FedEx Cup Championship. And there are a few guys like that. But for the most part, the guys are looking to put a championship on the resume, and you've had to have done well at least one point in the PGA Tour season to get to where you're at right now. So, you know, it's hard to compare it to other courses, and I ran some numbers that showed that in the $5 and less GPPs last year, there's absolutely no correlation whatsoever between ownership and fantasy point output. It's going to be extremely random. Lots and lots of variants. Of course, if you ventured up to the higher dollar entry, it had like 11% variance or something, but it's significantly lower than any other tournament. And using adjusted strokes gained to the field, looking at season-long numbers regarding that and comparing them to fantasy points, correlates very low as well, almost zero, and that is significantly lower than most other courses, where that's usually one of the most predictive factors you can use. And a lot of the strokes gain metrics also come in just really low. The only thing that really sticks out is driving distance, fantasy points gained, of course, since it's a no cut, or birdies gained is going to be a really nice way to look at that. You know, we want the guys that have a high projected course score. These, you know, the courses, it has some interesting things to it, like all four of the par threes are pretty damn long, about 200 yards or longer. So that's one split we're going to want to kind of look at here. The greens are Bermuda, and some of the European Tour guys, I know Jon Rahm had said something about it where, you know, they're not really as familiar with Bermuda as they are with, like, bent grass and other green types. Just because you only really see that in the southeast part of Florida. I know that the Masters is on bent grass, but for the most part, the Georgia and Florida events are all on Bermuda grass. I did run the numbers for adjusted field rank in southeast United States events. It's pretty much just Florida and Georgia thrown together, because it really is the home of golf for a lot of people, and you do see some guys that perform extra well there, and some guys that really struggle. You know, we've also got splits for strong field, of course, because we've had to do that the last few weeks, and this is no exception. Another strong field, just the best of the best in here, and Kizire. The par fours are on the longer side, five long par fours, four medium length par fours, and only two short par fours, and none of them are drivable. But some of them maybe if you just absolutely crush it and get the wind behind you, you know, because some of them are 30, 40, even 50 feet downhill from the tee to the green. So, you know, longer bombers, they usually always do better at fantasy point scoring in these no-cut events. You see it time and time again. Guys like, you know, just your birdie makers, Phil Mickelson, Finau, DJ, Brooks, they just score more fantasy points than people that finish, you know, in similar position to them. You see it with Phil all the time. He'll finish 30th, but have like five or six more fantasy points than the guys around him. But, you know, this week, the thing is, it's a very small field, only 30 golfers to choose from. If you fill your salary cap up, you're going to be tying with people. And, you know, some of the pricing is a little bit disrespectful for some guys, but it might make certain guys chalk. And I think this is the week to get off of the chalk. If you're going to fade the likes of Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose, the guys up there, this would be the week to do it. The field is pretty evened for the most part. You know, a lot of the guys between the 8 and 9K range, 7K range, even into the 6K range almost, they all have around the same odds. You see, it's kind of a, you can tell there are like three different tiers, and then there's Kizire at the bottom there, but you know, you've got your guys 10K and above. They're all around 8 to 12 to 1. And then there's a jump to, you know, the guys in the lower 9K, an 8K range, about 20 to 1, 19 to 1. And then it drops to like 24 to 30 to 1 for a good chunk of the field down there until it gets to the 40 to 1 guys in the 6K range. But it's definitely different than usual. I mean, if you pay for Justin Rose here, it's got to be the worst week to consider that. I mean, it's 8 to 1 odds. But you could get 8-to-1 odds at a much, much bigger tournament for an 11K guy on DraftKings. You know, if you were to pick Rose or Dustin Johnson earlier in the season, here it makes the least sense to do that. But if there's any chance they're going to be low-owned, which I don't think there are because people like to fill the salary cap, then maybe go for it. And Rose is coming in with some really hot form and loves to top 10 here. So, you know, let's just get into this field here real quick. We're pretty much going to want to look for guys who will be low-owned, guys with good driving distance. Accuracy is going to be a bonus there. If you got a combo like Justin Rose has, It's going to be a huge positive for you. Birdies gained, average fantasy points gained, and also threw in strokes gained, greenside bunkers, because every single green on this course has bunkers protecting it. There aren't really water traps at all. It's a pretty straightforward course. Real nice classical PGA course, but the bombers can carve it up a little bit, and of course all the biggest bombers here are here to play. So let's have some fun with them, shall we? Let's go to Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson. They're $11,400 on DraftKings, $11,300 for DJ. On FanDuel, DJ is more expensive, $11,500 to Rose's $11,200. Rose has the really good Bermuda grass putting splits in 12 rounds this year. He's averaged 1.2 strokes gained per round putting on Bermuda grass greens, and usually that number is around 0.3 strokes. So he gains almost an entire stroke per round on Bermuda grass greens so far this year. So he's going to be interesting to look to there. But if you're looking at the adjusted field rank stats, I mean, Rose, he had that miscut at the Northern Trust not too long ago. And, you know, he hasn't really showed up all too well in the stronger fields. He's put up two runner-up finishes in a row, but he has several of those. The one win came in Texas at a pretty weak field. And, you know, he had, like, some wins over the offseason in smaller fields and stuff. But with Rose and DJ, you look at them, they've never won a championship. I know that Justin Rose won the European Tour Order of Merit back in 2007, but for the most part, these guys have never actually won a championship. It might be reason enough to fade them, maybe. I don't really know. I would probably go Rose here over Dustin Johnson. I mean, the story with Dustin Johnson, he supposedly cheated on his wife. I haven't really read the story there, but Dustin Johnson be cheating off the golf course, and you know, if you had distractions like that go in your head, kind of makes you want to fade him. You see Vegas getting off him. He was 8-1 with Rose there, and now he's down to 9-1. As people are not liking that news very much, and we've also gotta tell you here, Justin Thomas at $11,300 on FanDuel. It's gonna be super risky to try and play him this week. He injured himself today. He reported a wrist injury from the practice round. So Justin Thomas, really knocking him down a lot. I was all about him. I was all about Justin Thomas here at this event. I was going to play a lot of him. Love him at no-cut events, and he's came second and sixth here and the two times he's played. But won't really be using him this week just because I know he's usually super safe. But with the injury, a withdrawal at this tournament will just crush you. You know, even the guys finishing in the bottom five, they're scoring over 45 points on average. And the average player in this field scores 68 fantasy points. I mean, could you imagine having a zero or just a super low score like a five or something from a withdrawal on your team? You just can't risk that. That absolutely keeps you from cashing, even if the rest of your lineup is perfect. It just kills you completely. So it's really hard to take a guy who's saying that he's injured right now. Yeah, I can't really pull the trigger there with Justin Thomas, but sad because I really wanted to. Just not going to be able to, and you know, we had to skip over Rory McIlroy there. He's got some really nice odds here. He won in 2016, runner-up in 2014, and Rory's been playing good, and when he's playing good, he likes to continue to play good until he decides not to. But I think this is a course where, I mean, I love to attack Rory anywhere where driving distance is on the table. He's longest in the field, 321 yards on average. Field adjusted there, 321 yard drive. That's 4 yards longer than anyone else in this field. You got to consider him very strongly here. He's crushed it here in the past, and his odds right now, he's right there with Rose. He's tied for the favorite here, and you can get him at a much cheaper price on both sites. I think Rory's going to start to get popular. You know, he hadn't been super popular before because usually he's very overpriced. On both sides, I think he's priced very fairly. On FanDuel, he's only like the fifth most expensive. So you gotta figure Rory's going to be a popular play this week, and I think that you just ride the form with him. I like using him. The super long driver, just good enough for me. I know he doesn't gain as many birdies as DJ and Rose, but I plan on leaving a lot of salary on the table in some of my lineups. And it's really hard to get Rose and DJ in there sometimes. If you really want to go after some of these, you know, 10, 9K guys to try and take advantage of, you know, Justin Thomas being taken out. You know, those guys will probably have a better chance of top fiving right now. But with Rory, you know, he's I think he was second in the field in the simulator in win percentage. Just has a really good upside here. I know a lower top 20 percentage than a lot of the guys up there with him, but, you know, he's kind of a more of a boomer bust play, and that's what we really want in a field like this. You got to have, like, the top four, the top five on your team. If it's not the top six, they end up being the nuts. And I think Rory is absolutely capable of finishing with the top five here. That's like finishing with the top 10 or top 15 at a normal event, and we know that he can do that 25% of the time. He finishes top five just on any given event. So liking Rory this week as a direct replacement for Thomas, but you figure his ownership will go up as well. But really, Brooks on DraftKings, Brooks Koepka at $10,000. He's probably going to be a more primary beneficiary of the Justin Thomas news. It kind of came a little early, so people haven't made a ton of lineups yet. And, you know, the global swap for Thomas to Koepka will happen, but you know, Koepka wasn't that great last week, coming 19th in a reduced field, but he had been soaring coming in, just doing really good work, gaining strokes off the tee in 89% of his rounds. I mean, that's just what he does. He gained strokes off the tee in every round last week, and in the final three rounds, he gained strokes approach, including three strokes approach. Gained during the weekend last week. Sorry, cat got my tongue here a little bit, but you know, Koepka, don't mind him at all. I know that the putting splits are a little bit negative here. That was something I liked about him. Actually, he's been putting pretty darn poorly, but he has much better splits on Bermuda. I know he doesn't have that many rounds; only played two events. Got eight rounds in on Bermuda grass, but it's a stroke better than his current strokes game putting numbers. You know he's going to be rock solid in strong fields. He has the composure, obviously. He's won two majors this year. And Koepka is the second best in this field behind Paul Casey at long par three scoring, fantasy scoring. That's going to be a real sneaky thing. That's going to lead me to some Koepka exposure. But you can't expect him to be low-owned. He's going to be really chalky, and I think you kind of have to pick and choose your chalk this week. And I like Brooks, even though he's going to be chalky. I just like the way his game has been, you know, ever since coming back from the injury. I say about him every week, but he's yet to really let us down. You know, getting a really big price tag and living up to it. Now he's the second most expensive on FanDuel. And I kind of want to play him there instead of on DraftKings, you know, for the ownership, because you figure he'd be a lot less owned. I know DeChambeau will have almost no ownership there at 11,200 compared to 8,400 on DraftKings, but we'll get to him. But Koepka's another guy, not in FanDuel, is going to be really low owned. I think I like that more than actually trying to get, you know, value, since I'm, you know, not really worried about filling out the salary cap that much this week. I can afford me some Koepka, and I think I'm going to play him on FanDuel, kind of fade him on DraftKings. I think he kind of made up my mind there, what I'm doing with him. But I really just like him overall. I know you're not gonna be playing cash this week. It's really dumb. There's no edge at all. We're straight up, we're just doing this for fun. And, you know, Koepka, I like him in every regard, but I think on FanDuel, he represents more value just because of that price tag. And I can almost say the same about Tiger Woods. $9,500 puts him on a huge salary island on DraftKings. He's $500 cheaper than Koepka, $400 more expensive than Fowler. So a lot of people are going to find their way onto Tiger Woods. He's going to be the most expensive person remaining in a lot of lineups, because it's the big drop from Koepka to Woods. You see it at tournaments like this where it's so small. The guys on the salary island or islands, they just get free ownership, because just for the sake that they're there, people don't want to scroll down much farther. And you know, Tiger Woods, I love him, obviously. Super solid all year long. Hasn't really shown that he can win yet, and I think that, you know, every week I want to say it's the week that Tiger's going to win. He keeps finishing runner-up, and, you know, we just saw recently at the PGA Championship and finishing runner-up. sixth last week at the BMW Championship. And, I mean, how many times this year has he finished top 10? 35% of the time he's finished in the top 10 this year. And he's made 15 or 17 cuts. I mean, he's expensive on FanDuel. I kind of like him there, you know, in the same regards as Koepka. Going to be popular on DraftKings. And he's not like a super great fantasy point scorer, like, you know, other guys in this range would be. He kind of comes in with lower fantasy point per hole numbers. But, you know, his worst hole types, like the short par threes, short par fives, there's only one of those holes on this course. So the course setup kind of helps him a little bit. And he's just been playing some really solid golf. I know the stroke gained approach doesn't matter as much this week as it does normally. In fact, this is one of the events where stroke gained approach and just stroke gained stats in general matter less than in other weeks. But, you know, Tiger, really good at putting on Bermuda. Really good splits there, and has always preferred Bermuda from the Florida area. So you know he loves golfing here. In 16 rounds in Bermuda, I mean, he's gaining about a stroke, and putting's been his only real Achilles heel lately. I think Tiger just statistically matches up for me. I just think he's going to be so popular that I want to look elsewhere in GPP, but FanDuel, going to get me some Tiger. Ricky Fowler, he's going to be the chalk on FanDuel, $9,700. Really cheap, and $9,100 on DraftKings is going to be cheap as well. He's 17-1, kind of a big drop-off from Tiger, but you know, the salary drop-off was pretty big there as well. Coming back from the injury with the top 10 finish last week, so you figure he's got to be fine. If that's the case, I mean, really good out of the greenside bunkers. You know, this Bermuda is not his preferred putting surface, but his last six events has averaged a top 10 finish. I mean, the dude's been playing really well all season long, kind of under the radar. He just never really plays here or plays very well here. His best finish is 8th since 2012, and he's come 26th, 23rd. So last year he just had a really bad performance there. You know, this is a course we go to every year, and it doesn't really change a lot. And a lot of the same guys are here, so maybe course history matters a bit, but, you know, there's a lot of variance thrown around. More worried about ownership, and I think Fowler on FanDuel is going to be too much ownership for me. I'm going to go under on him. Play him on play him on DraftKings, but he's going to be popular there as well. He's just going to be really popular. I mean, you know, everybody loves Ricky Fowler. I'm going to find myself on some Hideki Matsuyama here. 10-4 on FanDuel, $8,800 on DraftKings. He's been playing some seriously improved golf for the last 4 weeks. Four straight top 15 finishes. I know the 15th last week wasn't really impressive for a field of like 60 or 70, but still good. If you looked at him, he'd been gaining a ton of strokes approach, and that continued last week. He gained over 3 strokes approach last week, almost 4 strokes approach. So that's dialed in for him, and he's usually a tee to green monster. He's been putting well too, and is the best in the third best in this field in greenside bunker strokes gained. Don't mind the play at all. I think he's going to be lower owned because Finau is going to come in and take a lot of this ownership. Tiger Woods, Fowler, and DeChambeau at $8,400. That's crazy. On DraftKings, I think Matsuyama is going to be very under-owned. So I'm going to take a heavier stand on him. I know he tied with Fowler last year, finishing 26th, but I think his game has seriously improved. And if you remember last swing season, that's when he started to get into his groove. And he just crushed it. There was no better golfer at this time last year after the championships or the playoffs here. But I think that Matsuyama could have a pretty darn good performance here. And he's someone that's just not going to come with the ownership. Now for Finau, $8,600 on DraftKings. Going to be probably the chalk. The next three guys I'm going to talk to you about, really just this 8, 7K range. That's just the chalk right there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Your ownerships are going to be up across the board. You'll have people 40, 50% owned that you know, you'd never see anything like that. You might see Fleetwood go over 30% in some weeks just because he's so consistent. But with Finau here, he's just been killing it in strong fields this year. Just excellent numbers. He's played 11 events in strong field with an 89% adjusted field rank. And that's the second best in this field to only Justin Thomas. Take Justin Thomas out of the equation. Man, he's really good in strong fields. And lately, he's been killing it. Three straight top tens. Almost won the Northern Trust. Followed it up with a fourth at the Dell Technology Championship. So, Finau, the chalk. I really like him as chalk, too. I want to play him a lot. He was a pretty decent value for a top 10 bet for me. The simulator has him with over a 50% chance of hitting that top 10, and I got him at some positive numbers over on our sponsor site, MyBookie. So you might want to look into that. Just try comparing the implied odds for their props. You know, the top 10 bets are going to get you more bang for your buck than the win. It's more juiced up there, but I did bet some guys top 10, and Finau is one of them because, you know, ownership doesn't matter on the book, so I don't know about fading him still. I think I'm just going to take a heavy stand because he is just peaking at the right time, and I really like just, you know, playing guys that are on really hot streaks during this this playoff because we've seen it work out in the past. Guys like Casey, Leishman, if you remember Castro, these guys just get hot. You know, Horschel, we saw it a couple years ago. These guys get hot in the playoffs and come to a championship. They're ready, you know. And I think that, I think Finau, it's definitely his time to shine. He's third in the FedEx Cup ranks. I think that he could win the FedEx Cup playoffs. And he's under a 20-1 on the books. He's right there with Bryson, who's won two of the last three events. So he's getting a lot of respect on the books. Speaking of Bryson, if you can afford him on FanDuel, go for it. He's $11,200. Is that an appropriate price? I know he's number one in the FedEx Cup standings right now by over 1,000 points. Won two playoff events already. 19th last week. You know, kind of pedestrian, but still, the dude just crushing it. Greens in regulation. Driving accuracy of 64% with 309 driving distance. Just sick. Gaining strokes in every single split I have. Dude's a beast. Plays better in strong fields. Good at the par fives and longer par fours. The shorter par fours are more of his weakness, and there are very few of them on the course. So DeChambeau, super underpriced on DraftKings. He's going to be the chalk. I don't know if he'll be higher owned than Finau, but it's going to be him and Finau, 1 and 2 in ownership. I am almost certain about that. Has the winning upside, obviously. Has the best odds values to pricing. It's just going to project the highest no matter how you look at it. You can fade him for the ownership. It's just kind of scary to do because he's proven that he can win. But just recently at the PGA Championship, we saw him miss the cut. Of course, that could have really been due to his injury. But since coming back from that, it's been hard to bet against him. You got to find some chalk to fade somewhere. So pick between Finau, DeChambeau, Tiger, Koepka. Honestly, with this week, with there being no real, not really much edge to be had, I'd say follow your heart. Pick the guys that have made you money this year. Pick your favorite golfers. And, you know, I don't think Bryson's not one of my favorite ones, but I'll definitely be playing a lot of Finau. And another one of my favorite golfers, Francesco Molinari. $8,200 on DraftKings. Him, DeChambeau, and Finau, they all got gaps between their salaries and each other. It doesn't get too condensed, so you hit the 7 or 6K range. So they'll all get ownership just by default here because they're all separated like that. And not Jason Day, we'll get to him, but Molinari, you know, he two wins very recently, pulled the DeChambeau and Juan back-to-back, had the European Tour wins as well with runner-ups and everything. I mean, you look at his season, 33% of the time finishes top five, three wins on the year, just a sick year for him. Only 13th in the FedEx Cup standings, because he plays so rarely. But when you look at these, you know, when you look at what he's good at, obviously driving accuracy, that's always been his calling card. And he's hitting it just over 300, which it's acceptable. But everything else, you know, wish he gained more birdies. Bryson's going to be a lot better than that. He has the more, that's why Bryson has more GPP upside. Same goes for Finau. But Molinari, I know you're not playing cash games this week. He's a lot less likely to screw things over for you than DeChambeau is pretty much what the numbers are saying. But, you know, approach numbers have been godly, greenside bunker scrambling. The only thing I see is just, you know, he's not very familiar with Bermuda grass and doesn't putt very well on him, and a low fantasy point per hole numbers. Now, love me some Molinari. I want to play him. I think the right move there is to fade him. But I think he's going to be lower owned. It's kind of a big drop off from 19-1 DeChambeau, 19-1 Finau, to 24-1 Molinari. You know, with Jason Day 22-1 underneath him. We'll have to see how that goes. I know that Molinari has a top 10 finish last week. You start off the season with a miscut, or start off the playoffs with a miscut and a withdrawal, but people definitely still remember his wins. He has 3 on the season, you know, all those top 10s. He's just going to be popular on FanDuel. Again, that's where I'd put him. I know I just keep saying it, but the guys who are overpriced on either side, I say you play him. Just go all for that low ownership, honestly, and then, again, your favorite guys. Jason Day, doesn't represent the highest value here. Hasn't had success much either. At East Lake, some withdrawals, 17th last year. And, you know, over the last few weeks has not had good performances at all. Missed the cut at the Dell Technology Championship, and that was a reduced field as it was. So that's kind of embarrassing for him. 24th last week was not good. It's just, you know, it's okay. It was an okay performance. And he's been doing a lot of, like, top 20 in this year without top 10-ing, top 5-ing. He has the win, 2 wins on the season, so he can definitely do that. And I think he will go lower owned again on FanDuel because they tend to go more to the, you know, the season-long sort of numbers is where DraftKings is like, what have you done for me recently? On DraftKings, the price is baity enough for people to play him. I think I'll stay away. And again, I know I'm telling you, I'm playing everyone on FanDuel. So I'm going to have to punt hard there. And there are some ways to do that. But he's just another guy. I'm going to take my chalkier stands on just on some different people. I mean, I'm going to have exposure to all these guys just because if you don't have a certain right guy, the one person could screw you here. The only person I'm not playing is Kazire. I'll even take some shots at Justin Thomas. But Day, not too big on. Fleetwood, he's interesting. Hasn't had the top 5 upside anytime recently. But he's just been so consistent, making every single cut. Great adjusted field rank. In his last 8 events, 91% adjusted field rank. In 10 strong field events, 89% adjusted field rank. So he's beating all but 11% of golfers on average they tease it up with. Adjusting for strength of field. And, you know, he only plays the strong fields. Him and Justin Rose are tied for the strongest average field strength. And, you know, 80% of the time he's finishing top 30 in the full field events. I mean, you know, that's just been the name of his game. Rates out real well in the sim model because his numbers are just godly every week. But more of a consistent kind of cash game play almost you'd feel, you know. And at $7,900 on DraftKings, he's going to be incredibly chalky. He's always chalky. So I love Fleetwood. That's my long hair aficionado brethren. I'm just going to get him on FanDuel. I know I've said that for like the last 5 or 6 people, but hear me out. Things are going to switch on the other side here. DraftKings, I'm just, you know, I'm playing certain guys a lot and just leaving a ton of salary. That's my plan. But on FanDuel, I think I'm going to get tighter as I'm trying to fit in these overpriced guys and then just punt hard. But moving on down here, John Rahm, $7,700. Has been really pitiful the last, just all 3 weeks of the playoffs. He's been, just got awful. 24th last week, missed the cut at the Northern Trust and did it worse than even Molinari did. Or, you know, tied, or even did worse than Justin Rose did, and he had that unexpected miscut at the Northern Trust, and a lot of it was just really bad putting. He's, you know, he's not from the area, but this year, he's played 8 rounds in Bermuda grass, and he has a better putting splits than his usual awful ones. His last 10 events, 65% adjusted field rank. It's really hard to compare him to the guys around him, but you know he's incredibly long. Strokes gained off the tee, that's the name of his game. 62% driving accuracy with a 310-yard drive. I'm going to be playing him on FanDuel because I think that people will still be off of him just, or on FanDuel, he's very cheap, is a good value. What I meant was I'm playing him on DraftKings. Where I know he's super cheap there still, but I've got to play someone on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, he's super cheap. You know, Fleetwood's 10-7. Rahm's 9,500. I think we'll get a little bit more love there, but I might actually have to use Rahm a little bit to fit some of the more expensive guys. And, you know, just with how poorly he's been playing, I don't think a lot of people will play Rahm, but I'm okay with it. I've been off him the last few weeks. Just haven't really felt him. I think this week, he'll be able to shine a little bit more, you know. He was really good at the long par fours and the long par the par threes. My bad. Long par fours, long par threes. Rahm definitely does better at those. Those are his best hole types. And who knows? I mean, I'm just going for the ownership with Rahm. That's what I'm doing here. And seventh last year. What could go wrong besides him, losing his temperament and being Rahm? But you gotta risk it for the biscuit in a week like this. Next up, you've got Webb Simpson, who I love. He's gonna be chalk, but I love him. Top five here in 2013 and 2012, but since then it's been rough sledding. Now this year, a lot of upside from our boy Webb. In 18, full field cut events, 24% top 5 percentage, 38% top 10 percentage with the win at the Players, the 94% adjusted field rank in the Southeast. It's his hometown there, Carolinas, Florida's, loves Bermuda, and just on DraftKings, the price is crazy. I'm getting him on both sites, really. Simpson just really works out my lineups a lot better, and I think a lot of people are going to be using Horschel, and I am only interested in him in FanDuel. Gonna fade him on DraftKings and hope for the best, because I think Horschel's gonna get a lot of talk here as a, we'll talk about him next year, but Webb Simpson, I like him. He's the shortest hitter of anybody I've talked about so far, so I know I've mentioned driving distance and stuff like this. This is, I would use more Webb if we get some rain in the forecast, that might be a pretty smart idea there, but we have seen some accuracy guys do decently in the past. It hasn't correlated to anything, but Webb Simpson, again, the Bermuda grass putting, really, really good for him. He loves, this area of the nation, just always be showing up here. And just every single event that had Bermuda grass, he showed up. Just so many rounds from him and Horschel there. Really like what he's doing. He's going to be popular, but I don't know. I both sites, I'll take him. FanDuel, he won't be popular, so get a little bit of love there. And moving on to Horschel, like I had said, he's $7,300 on DraftKings, but $7,900 on FanDuel. Incredibly underpriced, and he's drifting more than anybody else on the slate right now. Last time he was here, he won in 2014, and the first time he teed it up here, he finished 7th in 2013. He withdrew from the Dell Technologies Championship, but outside of that, his last three finishes have been 3rd, 3rd, and 11th at the Wyndham Championship, which is right around here in North Carolina. He loves the FedEx Cup playoffs. He seems to always play better during these. His approach game has been sick lately. The one thing that's been killing him, well, he has a few things killing him. I have some hate for Horschel, and this will help back up my disdain for him. Really low numbers and average fantasy points and birdies gained, and you really want that this week. Under 300 yards driving, really inconsistent this year in the events that he's played in this area of the nation, in the southeast coast of America. 45% adjusted field rank, and strong fields, 59% adjusted field ranks. If it wasn't for Kazire, he'd be the lowest there. The lowest fantasy point per hole average, and the lowest projected course score. The worst at long par fours, and there are five of them on the course. The lowest average field strength for Billy Ho. I mean, I got a lot of hate for him. 43% top 40%, and what's worse is a 48% top 50%. He's missed a lot of cuts this year. He has only the 64% made cut percentage for him, but I know Horschel's streaky, and lately he's been streaking good. I just love the fade on DraftKings where he's going to be chalky, and I'll take him on FanDuel, where I just feel like on FanDuel, the chalky guys don't even get chalky enough unless they're expensive. If they're cheap, like punts, they usually only get up to like 20 or 30%. I'm just going to hammer Horschel to fit all those guys up top, Koepka, Tiger, Finau, DeChambeau, especially if you want to get DeChambeau in there and pay up for that price. Reed, if you're crazy. You're going to have to play Horschel to do that. Cantlay, $7,100, really cheap for him. Had a really bad outing at the BMW Championship, 55th, just really bad, and didn't do great here last year in this event. Finished 20th, but overall, he's the most consistent player in the field. Leads the field in greens regulation percentage. Doesn't get a ton of birdies, though. You know, he's definitely more for your cut events. He makes so many darn cuts. But still takes some very aggressive shots with a low double or bogey percentage. You know, that really goes to show how just how safe he is. It's that approach game. It's been solid. Just all year long. It's always been doing well for him. Now, I don't know, Cantlay still. I don't think he's going to be a popular option. I think people are going to avoid him for other spots. He's bad in putting in both, you know, Bermuda and just putting overall. And, you know, he's good at the medium length par fours. That's the only thing he really excels at as far as, you know, hole type scoring. Still cheap on DraftKings, really cheap for him. But he just hasn't really shown the top five upside recently, sort of like Fleetwood. So I know that FanDuel is always really underpriced, and he still kind of is. I'll play some on FanDuel, but I love me some Cantlay. I'm just going to play him because I like him, but I'm not huge about him this week. For $100 cheaper, $7,000 under Schauffele. Same price on FanDuel, $8,900. He's the defending champion here. The first time he teed it up here, he won. His odds are better than Cantlay's, 27-1 compared to 34-1. It's pretty obvious why. Third last week. Second at the Open Championship. The dude just beasts out in strong fields. Didn't have a good start to the playoffs. The 81st at the Northern Trust made him miss the cut. But if you look at his numbers in strong fields, it's actually not really that great because of the last few weeks. It's gone down. But if you remember, during the majors, he top 10s a lot. He misses a lot of cuts, but he makes it back by top 10-ing. You know, you look at his numbers on the year. 14% top 5 percentage, 24% top 10 percentage. So about a quarter of the time, he's doing that for you, and that's what you need from your punt down here. Schauffele, I think, has more upside than Cantlay does. Love me some Cantlay, but Schauffele is just more of the good GPP play here. That's just how I feel about it. And then you've got Patrick Reed, who I think is a great GPP play. Horrible course history here, really bad. Four starts, and last year, 13th was his best finish. Hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Has yet to even get a top 20. Just really bad form for him. And he's $10,000 on FanDuel, $6,900 on DraftKings. I think on DraftKings people might start to pick him. They know he won the Masters and he wanted Augusta, so that's fresh in the public's head. But for $10,000 on FanDuel, nobody's going to own him there, and that's where you almost just make a bold play and hope that he's that guy that just breaks it for you. Not too many of those guys around. You're going to have to really be garbage diving towards here if you want that one play that's going to separate you, but it could be Reed. You know, it's just he's a bad play, but if he's going to have low enough ownership, you know, if it's really just a random guess, you know, he's obviously has wins in his career. He could definitely do it. 15th in the FedEx Cup standings still, but... Oof, probably the worst form of anyone coming in besides Kazire, I'd say. But you're going to have to take risks like that this week. The FanDuel risk, I don't know about that. That just seems psycho to me, because you could just pay $100 more and get, like, Simpson or, you know, Molinari or something. Finau. It seems ridiculous to take him in the Finau range. But on DraftKings, he's fine as a GPP flyer. You've got Paul Casey. He's finished here. He's finished top five here 3 years in a row. What's not to love about him? In fact, he has great long par three splits. He's the best in the field. Besides Phil Mickelson, actually. But he obviously has history here. And the four long par threes, he just has a lot of success with those. The numbers make it quite clear. It's just the injury concern. Had a withdrawal last week on... You know, we're going to have to kind of wait and see. Like I had explained earlier, you can't risk a withdrawal. You really can't, but... And he's been playing horribly, like as bad as Reed. 21st at the Dell Technology Championship is all right, but he actually was up there and fizzled out on the weekend. 137th at the PGA Championship. I would just avoid him. Too much of a risk, but the top fives, man, they really... I'll definitely have some shares just to hedge just in case, but just not the way I'm going. down low, even though Casey at 6,800, usually that's just unheard of. It's only because the field's so small and he's been playing so bad. Gary Woodland, $6,700, much better fit for the course. Gains a lot, not a lot more birdies, actually. Casey is pretty good at gaining birdies, but your Woodland, his highest aggressive shot percentage of anyone in the field, 313 yards off the tee. He's going to be more popular, I'd say, and he has bad history here. A couple of top 10s, but 19th last year, a 22nd. The top 10s were like a 9th and 10th place finish. He's been all right recently. You know, put it together at the PGA Championship, kind of surprised people. He had a really lackluster middle of the season. And if you try to look to some of his splits here, you know, the greenside bunker strokes gained, second worst in the field. Really concerned about that. That's something that's going to give me a little bit of pause with Woodland, because I want my guys to at least be formidable with greenside bunkers, because they're going to be in them unless their approach game is on point. And that's something that Woodland does have going for him. He's top five in the field in approach, and also top five in the field in greens regulation percentage. So Woodland here, you know, in the Southeast, he's played three events, 39% adjusted field rank, 65% strong fields. He's really just improved recently. His season-long field rank of 67% compared to his last nine events, it's a 78%. He's beating almost 20% of golfers in these stronger fields, too. It's nice to see him kind of come into a little bit better form, but he's not, like, killing it incredibly yet. He could be that guy, though. He's as good of a bet as anyone else here, better than Casey and Reed. And, you know, the ownership might be kept in check because he's 50-1, as where Reed and Casey are 40-1. The odds to win value ain't there, but I think he has more top five upside than people would give him credit for. Two of the popular options here, $6,600 and $6,500 on DraftKings. Some of the biggest names on the PGA Tour historically: Phil Mickelson, $6,600. Holy crap, that's low. But $9,000 on FanDuel. And then Bubba Watson, $6,500. Now, Mickelson recently hasn't done well at this course and had a bad, bad week last week. But we've seen it time and time again. Averages 3.1 birdies gained. That's top six in this field. Take out Justin Thomas, that's top five. And that's over one more birdie gain per round than anyone in the 8K range or lower besides Tommy Fleetwood. And he should not be in the 8K range or lower as it is. So that's just them being wrong there. Like I said earlier, you see him, you know, he'll be tied with the guys in 38th, but have like 5 or 10 more fantasy points than him. He birdies a lot, but you look at his double bogey worst percentage, worst in the field. Well, second worst. Keep forgetting about Dang Kazire. But like I said, top five in birdies gained also. Just what you want in the no cuts, because you know he's not going to get cut. And even though he finished 58th last week, of all the guys that finished way in the back there, he scored the most. And if he has, you know, another decent finish, and he has been able to put together decent finishes. I know seemed like it's been a while since then, but he has 45% top 20 percentage on the year, 25% top 10 percentage in full field events. Mickelson, don't go without him at this no cut event. Now Watson, not sure how popular he'll get. Not drifting or anything. Everyone knows he has the upside. He's got all those wins on the year, but he's been really hit or miss. And recently he's been hitting. 16th last week, but 7th at the Dell Technology Championship. That was pretty good. Made the cut at the Northern Trust. Just missed the cut at the PGA Championship and at the Open Championship. Just been really doing very poorly at the majors this year, but 3 of his last 5 times here at Eastlake, he's finished in the top 10. And, you know, he's super long off the tee, 313 off the tee, just like Woodland. The driving accuracy isn't as good as Woodland, though. He's still good. I'd prefer him over Watson and Mickelson here. That's kind of how I feel about him overall. But, you know, Watson, I do like how there are some dogleg left and right holes, especially the dogleg lefts at this course. And maybe that's part of the reason why he's been, you know, doing decently. Gains all his strokes off the tee. Bad at the greenside bunkers, just another little concern there, but not as bad as Woodland. Woodland's over a stroke worse. Like, that's a serious concern for him. And Horschel's just god-awful. Like, way worse than everyone else in this field. Just with Bubba, I'm seeing, you know, he doesn't like Bermuda as much as Phil. Phil really likes Bermuda grass, has some very positive splits there. So something that pushes me back to Phil. But, you know, Phil's not even hitting it 300 anymore. He's hitting it 299. As where Phil's, Bubba's hitting at 313, so I think I'll prefer him in the lefty category. You go down to Cameron Smith, who finished third at the Dell Technology Championship and at the Northern Trust, and then 65th last week. He blew up and was awful, but still 10th in the FedEx Cup rank. Really strong in the beginning of the season, but he was just like Woodland. He really tailed off in the middle of the season. You know, in the last 25 events, 56% adjusted field rank, 42% in the southeast, and 59% in strong fields. Very, very good greenside bunker play, though. He is the best in the field by over half a stroke. So that he's got that going on for him, but he's just barely over 300 yards. Really, really low numbers in driving accuracy, greens regulation percentage. Loses birdies on average. So I can't really endorse him. I know he has a little bit of upside there, but he might. I mean, he's the same price as Horschel on FanDuel. It's hard to make that play. I mean, even ownership be damned. I know he's had the recent, you know, high-end finishes. You're going to have shares to him. I'm just not huge on him. I'd rather just take the risk with the guys with longer, more accurate drivers. Then you go to Mark Leishman, $6,300. So freaking cheap on DraftKings. Debuted here last year. At least he hasn't played since 2011, at least. But last year he teed it up, finished 24th. You know, he's been in really pedestrian form this whole playoffs. But last playoffs, it just felt like Leishman really put it together. But it was more towards the swing season, I'd say. And in 2016, he sort of did the same thing. I'll try to have some shares to him. He's really, really cheap on DraftKings and even cheap on FanDuel. But he loses birdies almost. Or he's just lower. He's in the bottom five in the field and birdies gained. You're just more of a conservative player. I usually would always play him in cash games. Adjusted field rank's been pretty steady around 67-68% all year long. 83% in the southeast in three events he played there. His best hole split, short par fours. So kind of want to leave Leishman alone a little bit. And then we're just going to get down to the punty guys. On DraftKings, I'm just going to use the punty guys. That's how it's going to be. They're going to be popular, but I don't think people like to scroll all the way down to the bottom here. Now, what's with this disrespect? Keegan Bradley, you know, he's been awesome all season long, approach game god, wins last week, and now he's priced at $6,200. On FanDuel, he's $9,100. It's going to be hard to get him in there, but, you know, on FanDuel or DraftKings, you have to just really, really consider him. He's way, way, way underpriced. Hasn't played here since 2013 when he finished 12th. 23rd in 2012 wasn't all that great, but, you know, 6th in the FedEx Cup standings now. Definitely going to be, you know, motivated. 90% made cut percentage on the season. Very consistent. You know, if you're going to be punting one of these guys, I mean, Bradley gives you a ton of consistency for your buck. Still takes aggressive shots and gains strokes in almost every category. Bad Bermuda splits, I'll definitely say that. Almost a stroke worse. But, you know, that's the only real nitpick I can make. I guess a low fantasy point per hole numbers. He's very much a more conservative kind of golfer, so maybe that won't do well at a no-cut event, but still, Bradley's going to be a strong play because that price is just nuts on DraftKings. Kyle Stanley at $6,100. Leads the field in driving accuracy, but he's short off the tee, 296. Gains all the strokes everywhere except for putting, and the greenside bunker is just a little bit lower than average. Not really too worried about that. You know, he's had some random decent performances. He showed up at the WGC Bridgestone, which is another, you know, bombers course. You know, he really has done everything. Whenever he's popped off, he's done it through the putter. And he does seem to putt better on Bermuda. It's not like a huge split there. Stanley just going to rotate him in and out with guys like Bradley, Leishman, Bubba, Phil. You know, just another punt to throw in there. Then you've got Aaron Wise. I always prefer Aaron Wise at a course where you know, it's no cut because he's kind of a weekend warrior. Does have the concern of being third worst in the field in greenside bunker strokes gained. I wish that wasn't the case because a lot of other things really set up for him. 304 off the tee, 64% driving accuracy, so a good combo there. High birdies gained numbers, averages 2 birdies gained per round. That's tied with Gary Woodland for second in the 6K and under range. So, yeah, Wise, he's going to be lower owned, definitely, because he's had some poor recent performances. 69th at the Dell Technology Championship wasn't great, but he finished 5th at the Northern Trust, 6th at the WGC Bridgestone. You know, just a high upside GPP punt that I think represents a little good value. And then the last play that I'll even talk about, because Kizire just fade him completely. He is horrible. I'll just show you his made cut percentage on the year. 44%. Bad. 53% driving accuracy. 298 off the tee. Just don't do it. Just loses birdies. Loses fantasy points. The worst in double bogey worst percentage. No, just don't do that. So anyway, back to Kevin Na. Minimum price. Horrible course history here. Maybe the worst. Almost dead last here in 2016. Actually, I think he was dead last. 16th in 2015. 19th in 2014. This place has not done well to him. You need to be a bomber. He hits only 289 off the tee. I think he's a trap. Sorry. I will definitely still have him, of course. I have almost everybody. But I'm going to be looking to the longer drivers here. Nah is just too short for me. He's the shortest in the field by a couple of yards behind Webb Simpson. I know I like Webb Simpson too, but that's just more me really liking the guy and me thinking, you know, he does really well in this area and on Bermuda and all that. But yeah, Kevin Na, not too huge on him. Would rather punt Wise, Stanley, Keegan, Bubba and Phil, Woodland. That's the group I'm going for. Casey, if you believe and you're willing to risk the withdraw for that course history. Xander on both sides. And yeah, that's pretty much the slate here, you know. And that's the end of the 2018 PGA Tour season, and I, you know, really appreciate it. Had a fun year covering it, and we'll be back in about a month for the swing season. I don't know if I'll pod a bunch of the weaker events and all that, but I'll definitely have coverage of it, the research station, the simulation model, strokes gained numbers, all of that. You can go check it out. And if you want to see the research station that I'm referencing here, see our simulator, see, you know, what percentage of the time guys win in the simulations, top 5, 10, or this week we did top 15, top 25, since obviously the made cut percentage is going to be 100% for everybody. We've got that along with the showdown tools, very helpful for showdown games, stat cruncher, historical performances, so you can see what has led to success of this course. Not much, I'll tell you that. And yeah, that's going to do it for the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast. And if you want to come check out our premium content for all sports included, full NFL package, and of course, once PGA returns, the full PGA research station. But, you know, check out all those other sports as well. Football's fun. DFSArmy.com. And remember to use promo code TACO to get a lifetime 10% off. And of course, that's me. I'm Taco, and you have a blessed Taco Tuesday, and I will see you again next season.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.